life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
What's happening? It's Man v Feud, the countdown of Manga Entertainment's UK VHS releases in the order of their SKU numbers. And it's the last one, Anthony. It's the last
one. Is it?
Yes. This is the
final. Since when?
Since
it wasn't enough, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. We ran out of VHS things. As you'll see, there'll be many, many massive gaps. So I'm pretty sure there's nothing in those gaps. But there's a possibility we've missed some things. But I don't think we did. Because my memory...
I'm seeing you because you always find this, is of
things being announced and then never appearing.
Right.
We shall get to some of those along the way. But we start off with Man v 1198... the Urotsuki Doji Legend of the Overfiend box set. Brought that out of its mothballs, going out the way they came in. Well, except, of course, this is 97, so they sort of linger around for four more years. This is the most amount of time we're covering in one episode as well.
I've never seen it before, ever.
Some more Angel Cop with 1199, and then onto something new. Man v 1200, Landlock, 9th of March 1999. Manga Video proudly releases the keenly awaited anime feature Landlock, a mind-blowing techno-mystical adventure from the world-renowned Masamune Shiro. Beautifully animated with some of the most complete character designs seen in recent anime, Landlock marks Manga Video's New Year's commitment to top quality productions. Oh dear. Yes, this is... I've not seen this, but I believe this is considered a legendary disappointment.
It's got the pedigree in that Shiro Masamune, yes. But... why have I never heard of it?
I don't know.
Maybe that's why, because it's terrible. Though, there's a guy on the cover who... It strikes me, I've never seen Big Trouble Little China, but there's a character on it. Is it like a Big Trouble Little China thing?
I don't know. I've never seen it either. I may be getting this mixed up with the thing which comes up... next to it in the other people you may be also interested in on IMDb, which is Gundress. That may be the thing I'm remembering as something which is massively hyped and a massive failure.
Right.
But yeah, people don't talk about Landlock, do they? In the same way they talk about...
anything.
Anything, yes. 1996 was its original release in Japan. The land of Zerlu is in turmoil, ravaged by the technological might of Chairman Sanaku and his evil militaristic forces. In a rapidly unfolding story of treachery, deceit, and betrayal, there is only one who holds the power to defeat such overwhelming odds, a boy named Luda, who possesses a mysterious red eye endowing him with the ability to control the power of the wind itself.
Whoa!
This also has a weird dub. It's from McClear Digital, who I think this is the only thing they did for manga. I think I think there was two other credits they had at Animated News Network, and I think they were both Beyblade related. Yes.
The TV series Beyblade,
and the movie.
Right. I wonder if it's because they're terrible or they're like, we don't fancy doing this anymore.
I believe they were Canadians, judging from the few people on IMDb who have more than one credit.
Okay.
Most of the people in Landlock have one credit, and that is Landlock. Possibly because they weren't using their real names. And, yeah, tying it into Canada, Celine Dion was number one this week with My Heart Will Go On. from
what a great song.
The film, which was number one this week, Titanic.
I liked it at the time. I think everybody else liked it, so I think I'd be silly if I said I didn't like it. I was at that age where, because everybody likes it, oh, it must be a good film, that.
Yeah, whereas I was at the age, everybody likes it, I'm not going to watch it.
Have you ever seen it?
I've seen bits of it. The bits of it I've seen have not convinced me to watch the entirety of it, along with the rest of James Cameron's post-Terminator career.
Wow. Harsh. It's in my mind, it's not terrible, but it's a big deal. It feels like a big deal for cinema, just because it's like a big budget.
Well, you couldn't escape it, because it was number one forever, and then this song was at number one for God knows how long.
Crazy, really.
Then we've got Man V 1201, Psychic Wars, released on the 20th of May, 1998. This and the next two are like the last gasp of traditional manga video fare. I think there's one more after this, but this Vampire Wars and Sword of Truth have all got John Walskill scripts. And not only have they got scripts, he was also directing the acting in these three.
Oh.
I've never seen these because I'm pretty sure these are all considered awful.
I've seen one of these three.
Do you know which one?
Yeah, Sword of Truth. Sword for Truth.
Okay.
I watched it at a friend's who was boasting that he had it. Not boasting, but he was like, oh, we've got to watch this. It's really short. Really short.
Psychic Wars is only 50 minutes as well. This was originally released in 1991. And this is what they said. Load up your brains and cock your mental trigger in preparation for the mind-bombing manga video release of Psychic Wars. Get ready to be blown away as the Earth awaits a full-on mind-mashing, protected only by a time-travelling doctor with zero experience of Daleks, let alone psychic demons. I also feel at this point John Walskill may have been writing the publicity materials.
That's such a strong paragraph of... Was Doctor Who big at the time? Were they trying to...
No. When was the redo?
Any of this early. In my head, it's like 2010?
They did that... The return was 2005, I do believe.
Whoa!
But when was the Eighth Doctor? That was 96, that TV movie one they did.
Oh, I'm thinking of when... What's your dude?
Matt Smith.
The one before David Tennant. No.
Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah. When did he do it then?
2005.
I feel so old.
Because I remember being at Minami and that billboard there is as you walk from Minami to the town centre, that had got a Doctor Who billboard up. And I was like, oh, it's coming soon. What's it going to be like?
And he's a good actor, him.
He was, yeah.
Ducked out early, though, didn't he?
He did. Well, that was the plan from the get-go.
I'm sure he did less than Tennant.
Oh, yeah, he only did one series.
Yeah.
Whereas Tennant did three, I want to say.
I like David Tennant as well.
Brilliant surgeon Ukio Retsu performs an operation to remove a cancer from a mysterious old woman. The cancer turns out to be a 5,000-year-old demon. A dark messenger from Japan's ancient past, heralding a demonic invasion of Earth. I feel like I've said that paragraph in a quiz at some point during Dynamite in the Brain. yes, so, I mean, I guess this is terrible, but I do hope it's got a big old sweary dub. It feels like this is Halloween podcast fare.
I mean, if these three are in the same vein as one another, or at least as Sword for Truth, they are very Halloween-y.
Yeah. We could just get nuts and watch all three for one.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was edging towards. That's what I was, yeah. Was there a PlayStation game of this?
I have no idea.
Oh, that was Psychic Force.
Yeah, that was Psychic Force, yes, I do know that. I had that.
Yeah.
Because it was anime as fuck.
It was, and that's what I've always thought this was that and that was this.
No, Psychic Force is the one which has, like, it's one of the lots of different character designs, isn't it? And there's a guy who looks like, the main guy looks like Locke the Superman. He's got that same haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool game. I remember watching that opening cutscene, which was all animated, again and again at my next door neighbor's house, because he had it. And would just stick it on. It was cool. It was a good intro. At least I think it was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was AIC, the people who were doing Tenchi.
Oh, right.
I think that was what it was. I can't remember the game being any good. But
Nah, it was a weird one. You flew around with psychic powers, and it was in a weird style arena. So it's not like this at all, unfortunately.
Number one on the 20th of... it was still in the cycle. It was 20th of May, 1998. It was Under the Bridge and Lady Marmalade by All Saints.
I've got a question about this, because I saw this in the notes. I was like, I know what Under the Bridge is. But when did All Saints... Well, obviously on the 20th of May, but I didn't know they ever did a Lady Marmalade cover.
Oh, I did. That's the thing which got played more than Under the Bridge, from what I remember.
Really?
Yes.
I am Lady Marmalade is in like the Christina Aguilera one, isn't it?
I don't know Christina Aguilera's hits, so
you must do. It's like from Moulin Rouge.
It's a cover, yeah. So it may be the same. I just, like I said, I don't know Christina Aguilera's song. I don't know Moulin Rouge, as we shall get to later, because I believe that is also one of the number one films. Yes.
That's a great... it's a great film. But I don't know what this All Saints one is. It's obviously well before my time of
paying
caring about
to
that
music.
Kind of music.
How old were you in 98?
10?
10. I think so should, that's a little late
music,
to not being paid attention to music, I would say.
All Saints kind of music. It's like...
Yeah, but
it's
when you watching Top of the Pops, Top of the Pops was still on TV.
Who was presenting it then?
I mean, probably people that can still show on TV now. There's different Radio 1 DJs each week, weren't it? So, who can say? Probably your Simon Mayo's, your Mark Goodyear's. Maybe occasionally a Mark Radcliffe and Lard.
Mark Radcliffe's got a fantastic radio voice. But yes, I do know this Lady Marmalade song, and I have to check it out now.
But no, watching those old Top of the Pops, I realise it's like, ooh, I must have been about 8 was when I properly started paying attention to pop music.
See, I can't remember actively listening or anything apart from like my mum and dad's old tapes. And like, I listen to a lot of older music than what was probably popular at the time. I was that kid.
Number one film was Deep Impact. The other asteroid film from 1998.
The one I haven't seen.
I haven't seen it either. Unfortunately, I have seen the other one. Didn't want to. I wanted to go and see Dr. Dolittle, but I was outvoted. I mean, I didn't want to go and see Dr. Dolittle. I just wanted to see something other than Armageddon.
Just because it tugged on your heartstrings.
Nope. Then we've got Man V 1202, Vampire Wars, from the 13th of July 1998. Top-class supernatural spy action with master criminals, international terrorists, and sexy movie superstars. First, a brutal terrorist attack on a NASA base takes place deep in the Arizona desert. Then, 10 days later, the corpse of a CIA man is found floating in the Seine in Paris. Are the two events connected? Monsieur Lasser of the French Secret Service thinks so, but can't work out how. To help him, he calls in the international terrorist, spy, and master criminal, Kusaburu Kuki. He discovers the key is a film star, Lamia Vidor, who has become the focus of a CIA operation in Paris, and more sinisterly, the target of a bizarre vampire cult. Yes, this is also I've read out in a quiz. I think it was Types of Wars. So it might be the Summer Wars episode or something.
That would make sense.
Yes, because I was remembering the plot, and I was like, I've never seen this, but as I'm reading this out, I remember the plot. Because it was like, oh, French Secret Service, who's going to help? Oh, a terrorist, spy, and master criminal. I suppose it's a bit like Zenigata teaming up with Lupin.
Yeah, this sounds more like crazier, though, because it doesn't sound as tongue-in-cheek.
But there's a lot of stuff.
It probably
going
is
on.
Very tongue-in-cheek, but...
Yes. When did this one come out? This is the one thing I forgot to write them in notes. Vampire Wars.
91.
91 as well. They must have probably got them in a job lot.
Yeah. See, this and the next one that we're going to mention, they've all got that cover. I don't know how many others had that DVD sleeve, which was the red bar
did,
across.
Yeah.
Oh, because I always associate with the Sword for Truth. Yes. So I always think anything with that cover is scraping the barrel.
Yes, it literally is. Don't buy anything with that cover.
Good. Good. That's good.
That's quite often right. They were like transfers from VHS.
Right. Collection.
On Anime News Network, this is a little bit better user ratings than the Psychic Wars. There's some people.
Is this? Oh, go on.
It.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So the most it's given most. The highest ranking it's got, where obviously people have ranked it all, well, it hasn't got a 10, but people ranked it 9, but not the majority. the value which has got the highest number of people voting on it is 3. Whereas I believe for Psychic Wars, it was 2.
Right, I expected a little higher. When you were saying that people like it, I was expecting maybe 6.
Somebody gave Psychic Wars a masterpiece vote, so.
Got to get them on the episode. and how long is this? Is this 50 minutes as well?
Let me check this one out. Vampire Wars is 50 minutes as well. Yes.
Oh, brilliant. This is the Trinity. This three squad of classics.
Then,
I want to know what was number one.
Number one was Freak Me by Another Level. I have no memory
Freak
of.
Freak Me? I know who Another Level are. I found the audio. Hold on. I'll have a quick listen.
They've got a greatest hits called Another Level, Freak Me, The Collection.
Oh, that's the Dane Bowers guy.
Is that right?
I don't know if he was in their band. Another Level, but he's definitely there.
Yeah, I think he is, yes.
He's had a few mentions on this, hasn't he? One other mention,
quite
I think.
Possibly, yeah. I don't...
Yeah, I know that song. I know that song.
No, I don't recall it. And the number one movie is 6 days and seven, 6 days, 7 nights.
Is that Pierce Brosnan... Oh, no, it's not.
Harrison Ford and Anne Hesh.
That cover. I remember that cover very, very, very well.
I don't, and I worked in a job where I was looking at video covers.
I don't know what
5 days a week.
Me auntie had it or something, and I used to go and visit me auntie every Sunday night. So it was a possibility it was on her shelf or something. I like Harrison Ford. He looks quite old, doesn't he, in that?
He probably was quite old in that.
Yeah, I mean, what was it, 98? Yeah,
98,
20 years ago.
Yeah, 98, he would have been 56.
Gosh. Wow.
Yeah, you got to remember he's a late starter, so.
Yeah.
So I'd never seen it. I'm not a big Harrison Ford fan.
Oh, see, I think I don't know if I'm a big Harrison Ford fan, but some of the films that I love, he's in. Indiana Jones, Blade Runner, Air Force One.
Indiana Jones and the Crystal
Skull. I don't love Air Force One. That doesn't count. I genuinely forget about that film.
He just always has the demeanour of somebody who'd rather be doing something which wasn't acting.
maybe at this era.
You think
like in the
would you have just been happier being a carpenter?
Is that what he was due to be doing?
That's what he did beforehand, yes.
Ah. But he's so charismatic. It's all in the face.
Yeah. See, I'm not even sure he's that charismatic.
Oh, I think he is.
I mean, I really liked Han Solo, and I Indiana Jones as a kid.
But Indiana Jones is fantastic.
I'm not a big Spielberg fan.
Now we're getting to the nitty
gritty. I've not really revisited the Indiana Jones films for a long time.
Did you like the Tintin CGI film?
Didn't even bother, mate. Why would I?
Oh, it looks
like an atrocity.
It's great. When he gets his hands on to do a sequel, sign me up to go and see it. Unless he wants me to work on it, that's fine. I love that film. It's great.
No, I like Jaws.
Jaws is good.
I think I may even have a soft spot for 1941.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Which is one people don't like. But, yeah, too often I go in and I'm like, well, I don't like the entire film. It's like I like bits of the film, but the entire film doesn't necessarily... Oh, Minority Report, I think it was. Minority Report and... What's the one where Leonardo DiCaprio is playing that person who pretends to be a...
Oh, Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
I've never seen Catch Me If You Can.
I wanted to like it more than I actually did, so I think that was what put me off.
Oh.
Because I went in like, oh, this seems exactly my sort of thing, and I love the animated opening credits, and yeah.
I think I was a bit too old for Catch Me If You Can.
Too old?
Too young. It's 2002... So I'd have been like 14.
It's a bit weird. Like, I don't want to watch this thing about a guy pretending to be an airline pilot in the 1960s. That's kid stuff. That's for babies.
I think I would probably really enjoy it now, but it, I don't think. I think I might have even seen it, but it wasn't full of action, and just not what I was after at that age.
Then we've got Man V 1203 Sword for Truth, which came out the 20th of April 1998, so these didn't come out quite in the order they were numbered up. It's official, undead ninjas are attacking lone samurais despite the express threat of severed limbs and in some cases even decapitation. Okay, the samurais are threatening the undead ninjas, and yet they are still attacking these samurais. Okay, that sentence just about makes sense. These stunning revelations have come with the incredible release by UK animation giants Manga Entertainment of the gut-wrenching anime Sword for Truth. Were your guts suitably wrenched, Anthony? You've seen it, Anthony. Was your guts suitably wrenched?
I didn't know. Well, it's a very simple premise, but when I was watching it, it feels like it's a lot cut out. Whether it's story that they've decided to cut out to get into this 50-minute length, I don't know, but it's terrible. Hey, I remember it being so bad that I kind of wanted to laugh, but it wasn't that bad, or it was slightly better than that. It's just not very good.
Classic samurai action from a swordsman that would stripe up Zorro like a zebra and turn Touche Turtle into Tortoise Teriyaki.
I can't even remember the sword, and all I remember is this huge, it's either a saber-toothed tiger or some huge white cat that's killing people. And that's not on screen long enough. It's like in the opening scene, perhaps, and then I don't think it shows up again properly, which is a bit of a shame.
And Sword for Truth, are we going to guess 91? I mean, based on the other two. Now it's breaking up.
I'm here. So I'm going to guess what year is. I'm going to say 91 as well.
1990. Oh, it was almost 91. It came out on the 28th of December 1990.
Oh, damn it.
This one has the most ratings under bad. But again, one person did give it masterpiece.
Idiot. Like, I'm sorry, but... I mean, if it was for them, fine. Because it could be for someone out there.
It could be. It could be for us, if we watch all three of these together.
I think it could be for us. If we watch definitely do an episode on.
If we watch the other two, it may turn out this is the best one.
Possibly. I mean, it is samurais and ninjas, which on paper is better than psychics and vampires.
Undead ninjas.
Undead ninjas. There's a few points for that.
Number one was Run DMC versus Jason Nevins. It's Like That.
Good song?
Better song when it doesn't have Jason Nevins involved.
What's the difference? Because I don't know
what
the difference
is. He basically made
it
into a house record. So he,
right.
As opposed to a hip-hop record.
Perhaps. I can't even think what his is like. So
the beat's different. Or,
right.
Yeah. And Titanic was the number one film.
Still.
Or before. It may have been before the last one we talked about. It was before the last one we talked about. No, it was still from Landlock. It was before, but this came out. This was between Landlock and Psychic Wars when it actually came out.
Right.
Then Man v 1204. So we've gone from 1203, 1998, to 1204, 18th of January 2000. Blackjack. This is the 1998 TV movie. I do believe. The Atlanta Olympics heralds a major breakthrough of mankind, a new breed of being that can achieve the impossible. 13 Olympic records are smashed, and the world takes note that a human life is now capable of far more than ever imagined. 2 years down the line, and superhuman mankind is under threat, suffering from a catastrophic degenerative disease called the Moira syndrome. Patients once thought infallible are now aging rapidly and dying like flies. The medical establishment is baffled, and Blackjack, the rebel doctor, is called upon to provide an answer. So, yeah, this is Osamu Tezuka's Blackjack in TV movie form with a Central Park Media dub. I've only seen the most recent TV series of Blackjack. Not this or the OVAs. And, of course, he did just show up in the very first episode of Late Night, The Genius Bacabon. Because they were doing a parody of the first episode. Or at least, no, not just a parody, a commentary on the first episode of Mr. Osomatsu, the one which got banned because they hadn't cleared any of the parodies. Whereas in Genius Bacabon's first episode, they go out of their way to point out how they've cleared all these parodies. Everything's perfectly
smart.
Okay, above board.
I've never seen this, and I've seen it. I used to see it in HMV all the time.
Yes, this was a big HMV shelf warmer.
Yeah. I don't know what. I don't know why. Why? Why did they order too many or stock it too often?
Oh, they ordered exactly the right amount and nobody bought it.
Aw. Bit of a shame.
So we can't offer much more commentary than that. Apart from, say, the number one record of this week was Manic Street Preachers with The Masses Against the Classes. A classic band gets their one number one of their career by releasing a record just after Christmas, so there's not much competition.
Is that the only number one they've
ever had? I don't know if it is.
Right. But, I thought they were a big deal.
They were. I think they were regularly did well in the charts, but it's a bit like Iron Maiden being the classic example of getting Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter.
Right.
To number one because of how they released it.
I don't know what that song is, though. Classic. What is it? Classes.
The Masses Against the Classes. Oh, this was their second number one. They'd previously had If You Tolerate This, Then Your Children Will Be Next. Without the then in, I added that extra word. Masses Against the Classes. I feel like it's a song you recognise but the name itself doesn't necessarily give you a hint of what it sounds like.
It sounds like anything else of that thing, that style. It could be any song. I mean, it's probably a fine song, but it doesn't. It's not even got a catchy chorus. Or has it? Hold on. I'm surprised this was at number one. As you say, just after Christmas. But this ain't number one material. Well, maybe it was in that time. Maybe it was. Not my cup of tea. You wouldn't have found me listening to this.
It was the first new number one of the 21st century.
Oh, that's quite a title to have.
Knocked Westlife's I Have a Dream off the top spot.
Oh, see, in all fairness, that is a much better song. At least I know where it is. If that comes on the radio, you're gonna join in.
And number one film was Sleepy Hollow by Tim Burton.
I didn't realise that was that old. God. I like that film as well.
Over 18 years old.
That's crazy.
It's a film can
I really like that film.
It can now get served in a pub, that film.
God. Have you seen it?
I have. I saw it at the cinema.
Did you like it?
I did. Maybe the last Tim Burton film I enjoyed. Let me see.
I remember watching it and being like, not at the time, but whenever I watched it in the last recent years or whatever, I was like, well, that is so much better than I expected and what everybody... Nobody seems to talk about this. And I do think it's that good that people should be praising it a little bit better.
Oh, yeah, his next film was The Planet of the Apes.
Oh, God. Jeez. Yeah, I like that film.
Then we've got Man V 1207. So I think we've missed some numbers again. Now, this is where we start missing numbers out. We're reeling time backwards a bit to the 11th of October 1999. Perfect Blue was released on VHS. Mima was a pop idol worshipped by the masses until fashion dictated otherwise. In order to salvage her ailing career, she's advised to drop music and pursue acting. A soap opera role is offered, but Mima's character is less clean-cut than desired. Regardless, she agrees and events take a turn for the worse. It's Perfect Blue. We've seen it. We've reviewed it. We've talked about it.
I loved it.
Times. I like it. I like it less than I did in 1999. In 1999, I was all about Perfect Blue.
Like it way more than I did then, because I would have never have watched a film like this when I was 10 years old. In fact, I probably would have done.
You shouldn't have watched a film when you were 10 years old like this.
I shouldn't have, but no. I used to watch all sorts of stuff like that.
I bet you did.
Oh, no, not in like a pervy way, but I mean like 18 certificates and stuff like that. I was watching Enter the Dragon and stuff like that.
You were a delinquent, is what you're saying.
Delinquent. I watch good films. This is my favourite, I've mentioned this before many times, this is my favourite Satoshi Kon film.
And I've mentioned many times, it's my least favourite Satoshi Kon.
This was the first one that I'd seen of his, so it's special.
This dub is by Animaze. I think I'd seen the subtitled version of it. Excuse me, clear my throat. At Minami that year.
What kind of response? I don't know if we ever discussed it, but what kind of response did it get at Minami?
I can't remember. I wasn't really paying any attention to other anime fans at that point.
God, such a rebel!
I was just going.
Stormed out of the cinema. Cartoon shit, just like the rest of it.
No, I was like, oh, this is excellent. And then I was like, as soon as it came on VHS, yeah, got it. Went around John's. John, you got to watch this. And also, you got to watch all these episodes of Serial Experiments Lane. And also, we've got to make your friends watch them as well. And your housemates.
And their friends. And everybody you know.
And some Eurosight Sura and completely freak them out. Number one was Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle. This I do remember as a Christina Aguilera song.
Oh, of course, of course.
I also remember when the factory I was working in at the time, our driver would, around this time, would frequently come into the office singing it, which, not such a good rendition.
No, I can't imagine this.
And number one film was American Pie, a film I've never seen.
What? You've never seen American Pie?
Why would I see American Pie?
This was the film you had to watch. It was.
Imagine my age. I'm 24 years old. Why would I go and see American Pie?
That's exactly the kind of age you should be watching it.
No, I'd say 14, 19 maybe. 24, no, not American Pie.
Oh, it's really good. Well, no, it's not really good. I'm just reminiscing about the past.
Yeah, I think you are.
It was quite funny. It was fine.
I was a far more sophisticated fare, like the South Park movie.
I've never seen that to this day.
I saw it twice in one weekend.
Whoa.
I watched it driving to my mum's, and then I watched it driving back from my mum's.
You can't mean driving.
Yeah, of course I was, 24 years old.
Well, while watching a film?
No, I drove and stopped at the cinema.
Oh, I thought you meant like a little TV and your seat or something.
No. and then played the soundtrack repetitively.
Genuinely don't know anything about the film. Never been a big South Park fan.
I've not watched it in probably a decade at this point.
Yeah, it's never been. I liked it as a kid when I didn't find the stuff that was intended to be funny. I just liked the idea that it was a cartoon that swore. I was at that age. But
well, yeah, I mean, we were all still impressed. Because I remember there was a dealer at the first Shinenkai who'd got the first episode downloaded onto his laptop, and people were like huddled around his booth watching it. And so when I got back to university, I was like, you're never going to believe this thing I saw at this anime convention. It wasn't anime at all. It was on the guy's laptop. But it was amazing. It was like made out of paper cutouts.
It's a perfect thing for students.
It is, yes. And then it came along later in the year on Channel 4, and it's like, yeah.
So how did he have hold? Like, how did he get hold of it? Was it just like an American?
I don't know whether he may have known people, because my friend Graham worked with somebody who knew them, who knew Trey Parker and Matt Stone. So I think, because obviously those Christmas card things, videos they did, which spawned it, had gone around and people were tape trading that. Right. So it's possible people were trading the pilot around as well. Or maybe it just aired and someone was able to rip it. I don't know exactly the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Clever stuff.
But yes, well, anyway, South Park, stuff, yeah. Much more my cup of tea than going to see American Pie.
Fair one.
And then Manvi 1208, the first volume of the Fists of the North Star TV series, was released 12th of April 1999. Nuclear war has devastated the planet, turning once fertile ground into a barren, inhospitable landscape on which mankind struggles desperately to stay alive. In a world so cruel and bleak, only the chosen one can restore civilization to its former self. This man is Kenshiro, master of the Hokuto Shinken fighting style, a martial art so awesomely brutal that only a single being can be entrusted with its full power. He is the Fist of the North Star. And then you get to the important details of... sip of water. All 12 volumes have been rescored by longtime manga enthusiasts, Reinforced Records, featuring artists such as Four Hero, Tech Nine, Sona Circle, Seiji, Alpha Omega, and DJ Stretch. Manga goes hand in hand with drum and bass, explains Mark Mack. It's an association that's developed over the years with many clubs and artists using manga visuals. manga has a strong futuristic undercurrents, which are clearly reflected in drum and bass. Yeah, there you go. Apparently this was the anime's dub, at least according to Anime News Network. I've never seen this version of Fist and the All-Star. I realise that I should probably find a clip if I redo the Anime Space Disco.
Yeah, all that drum and bass.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because obviously I mentioned the rescoring of Cobra by Yellow.
Yeah.
But I forgot all about this one.
Hmm. So I always think I'm like a fake Fist of the North Star fan in the sense that I love it, but I haven't seen it all. So I'm like, I'm scared to admit that. I'm like the kid at school who everybody else is talking about something. Like, yeah, I've seen that. But I haven't seen it, but not all of it.
Well, there's a way around that. Watch all of it.
There's a tiny bit of it. But I did start ages and ages ago. So maybe, and it's easy watching. It doesn't take much effort. But Dragon Ball Super, I need to watch.
You do, yes. Crack on with that.
Especially for this new film.
Yeah, you got to get ready for the Broly movie.
Yeah, and I'm so ready.
Which looks like a retelling, doesn't it? It looks like completely from scratch.
Yeah. Ah, oh, I'm so ready for that film. Sorry to digress from Fist of the North Star, but...
Hey, that's what the podcast's all about. Digression.
What, digressing from Fist of the North Star? But no, that trailer looks so good. It's I was speaking to Lewis about it, and I was like, it's got like the line art. It looks like a hark back to Dragon Ball Z. Like it's different to how Super looks in my head, unless Super started looking like that.
Oh no, it's different. I also don't think it looks like Z either. I think it looks like something else.
It's certainly got its own feel, but I don't know. I'm just hoping it's. I'm just excited. I was way more excited from that trailer than what I expected.
The trailer gave me what I was expecting. Because obviously the focus of the trailer is that it's going to be Vegeta and Goku versus Broly.
Yep.
But he also mentions Broly versus Frieza, so I was assuming, he's going to beat Frieza up as like, that's the thing he does to show how powerful he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then could probably also take Frieza back off the stage again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Or they'll have to rescue Frieza. Now they're best friends.
See, I don't know the extent of that friendship.
You've got to crack on with Dragon Ball Super. Because if you don't, it's going to be spoiled during Mass Extravaganza. So.
Well, something tells me I won't catch up in...
a week.
Less than a week? A week.
A little over a week, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, I would imagine. No, actually, it's probably not. I don't know.
Just watch the starting and ending. Just watch the recaps of each episode.
That would work.
Work even more for One Piece, but probably would work with Dragon Ball Super as well. Then the number one was Martine McCutcheon's Perfect Moment. Hot out of EastEnders. In her moment in the sun.
I liked her. I thought she was all right.
I can't remember who she played or how she died.
Was she going out with Ricky or was it Ricky's sister? I think she was called Maxine. Was she called Maxine in the show?
I don't know. I think I was kind of half watching EastEnders and Curry around this time. After not being allowed to watch soaps all my childhood, then my mum decided she was going to watch soaps.
Why weren't you allowed?
Because it would be a bad influence on us as children.
Yeah, there's a lot of slaps and...
Tiffany Mitchell, she was.
Tiffany! That's the one.
Yeah, so she just left EastEnders during one of the... She died in one of the Christmas episodes, the New Year episode.
Oh,
she gets run over by Frank Butcher.
Oh, Frank, how to deal with that.
Spoiler alert if you're trying to catch up on EastEnders like Anthony's catching up on Dragon Ball Super.
God, she's not done much since, has she, really?
I think she's done a lot of stage stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And number one,
she was on Loose William? Loose Women for a while.
Loose Williams. Very different program. The Rugrats movie was the number one movie.
I remember that.
I think the Rugrats have worn out my welcome by that point.
I was a super fan. Well, not a super fan, but I really liked Rugrats growing up.
I mean, I was already grown up by the time I was watching the Rugrats. But yes, it was a decent cartoon.
Yeah.
But there was an awful lot of it.
It started in 1991 and ended in 2004. The long run, isn't it?
It is, and then they do like a spin-off with them all a little old, with them as teenagers or something.
All Grown Up, apparently, is what it's called. Which I never watch. I don't need that kind of stuff.
Well, you think if a baby started watching it when it first aired, they would be a teenagers when the thing finished.
God, 172 episodes. That's long.
And then your remaining releases in 1999 were more volumes of Fist of the North Star and the final volume of Giant Robo, which was, I think, was the only thing I bought from manga out of this lot of stuff.
Oh.
Because it had been so long, like 3 years. It was like, finally, Giant Robo, volume 7. Even though I'd seen it at a convention already. But now it meant then I could all do what I used to do repeatedly of watching all the Giant Robos in a row. Not done it for a while.
Could be due.
Then we've got Man V 1232 Ray Earth on the 31st of July 2000, my birthday. Didn't get this as a present, though. The land of Sephiro is slowly but steadily materializing into the real world of Tokyo because of the powerful magic forces at play. The colliding of these two conflicting dimensions is set to cause tremendous repercussions, particularly on Earth. In order to prevent the impending cataclysm, Clef and Lantis must find the Magic Knights, who together have the power to stop this. So this is the Magic Knight Ray Earth OVAs, which I believe are an alternate telling of the story. I've never seen this. I've seen a decent chunk of the TV series.
Yeah, that's something I've ever watched. If this is like a well kind of condensed version...
I think it's a completely different story, pretty much.
Ah,
like
okay,
same
then.
Characters, but different story.
Less intrigued.
And the dub is from Sky Pilot Entertainment, whoever they are. I believe there was meant to be a whole bunch of other titles supposed to come out during this period, which were dubbed by Sky Pilot. I think some eventually came out on DVD. And let me just do a search to confirm that. I think Virus, Buster Surge, that was one which was announced. Ghost Sweeper Mikami movie, that was also announced. They did Kaido Marrow. That would have been post-VHS anyway. Yeah, not... Oh,
I don't think there's even much talking in that film.
There isn't, no.
So.
They did put out Yu Yu Hakusho, the movie, though, didn't they?
Oh.
I'm pretty sure they did that. Because they announced Yu Yu Hakusho and Ghost Sweeper Mikami. It's like, oh, here's two films of TV series you've not seen. But anyway, Ray Earth, yes, that was it. And number one hit record in this week was 7 Days by Craig David.
I remember that one well.
Yes, I think it was... If you were around that time, it was probably indelibly marked
everywhere.
In yes, and also then throw the parodies on... What was the program
Bow
called?
Bow Selector?
Bow Selector, that's the boy.
I used to be a fan of that, and I've watched it since and got, like, a fifth of the laughs, or, like, 5% of the laughs than what I used to get. Whereas as a kid, I found it hilarious. Whereas now, it's aged badly.
Yes, I think it was probably individual bits, if you like watching individual sketches on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, that's the best way to watch it, but there's a lot of shit that fills up each episode. Yeah,
I think that's generally the best way to watch his current stuff as well.
What, on Celebrity Juice and stuff? Or...
Yeah, I never watched his sketch show. There's like individual sketches which are pretty good, but I couldn't actually wade through the entirety of his sketch show to find the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a man called Lee Francis who we're talking about, American listeners.
Oh, yeah, I've even considered the fact that... Yeah, I can't imagine him ever breaking the shores.
Well, yeah, he had there was a specific Keith Lemon show which was about him trying to break America quite recently.
Oh, interesting.
But I feel it's like a low-rent or a low-budget Ali G type thing. Except without any satire involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Just doing a character.
For years I thought he was called Keith Lemon.
Well, first of all, he was Avid Merrion, was his first character.
I knew that was a character. I don't think I've ever seen him being interviewed as...
As himself.
Himself, no.
No, I don't think I think he generally avoids that.
God, Avid Merrion. Yeah, you'd have to Google him, people who don't know. Bow Selector. Crazy stuff.
Then you've got two more volumes. Oh, sorry, for the film first was The Perfect Storm. Not seen it.
No, I don't think I have.
I was like, well, it doesn't seem like a fun film to watch, watching a bunch of people die on a boat.
No.
I mean, even who was dying on the boat? It was George Clooney, wasn't it? And
I thought Pierce Brosnan. I've got Pierce Brosnan on the brain.
I don't
tonight.
Know. You want him to be in every film. George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg. Maybe I do want to see Mark Wahlberg die on a boat.
Oh.
Then, Man V 1237, after two more volumes of Ray Earth, on 14th of August 2000, it's X, the movie X, not the TV series X. At the millennial edge, the concluding battle for humanity's future is staged. Kamui Shiro's destiny has been decided as he returns to Tokyo to face his ultimate challenge. The Dragon of Heaven, Defenders of the Earth, Defenders, no, not that one, stand ready to protect the world from the Dragon of Earth. The seven angels of legend who embrace the devastation of the planet to bring about its purification. A vote depicting the end of the world, X is not the usual hyper-paced battle of psychic powers. The film favours a dreamy, almost hallucinogenic approach that lends it more of an European art house feel than traditional anime. Visually, it is absolutely stunning, they say.
It is. It is. I've seen this.
Yeah, I saw it as well. I saw it at... It must have taken them about two... When was Shinenkai 98? Early 98, I guess. Yeah. It's in the title, 98. Yeah, so it took them over 2 years for them to get from showing it at Shinenkai onto VHS.
I was really fond of this. And then I was super hyped to finally get a hold of the series. And the series just isn't as good. It could be better if you're willing to put in the effort, like the time it takes to watch it all, but it's just long, isn't it? 26 episodes when you can watch a diluted version in ways in 90 minutes, 70 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah, I enjoyed this.
Yeah, so did I.
It's, this is probably the last classic manga era thing because it does have a George Rubicek script. So it's one of the classic adaptation writers, but not the one famed for sticking a bunch of swears in. I don't remember this having a bunch of swears in it.
I don't either.
Your number one record was Melanie C with I Turn to You. I do not recall this record
I
at
Turn
all.
To You. Like something in the sun. That's something like that, the words.
And the film was God in 60 Seconds. Not seen that either.
I've seen it. Didn't like it back then.
Is that Cage?
Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie. I'd say I don't like cars. So I watched a film at that age primarily about the stealing of cars. And yeah, I didn't like it.
Nicolas Cage, Angelina Jolie, Giovanni Ribisi, Christopher Eccleston, Robert Duvall, Vinnie Jones, and Will Patton.
Huh. Didn't know Christopher Eccleston was in it.
No, I didn't either. Once I saw Vinnie Jones, I remembered that Vinnie Jones was in it. Yeah, not seen this one. Are you excited about that? Is it Mandy, that new Nick Cage film?
I've not watched the trailer yet, but I've seen a lot of rumblings about the trailer being fantastic. Nicolas Cage, he's in it.
The trailer
great
is fantastic.
Film, blah, blah, blah. But I know nothing about it at this point.
I've not seen the guy's previous film either. I watched the trailer for that, and I was like, I should probably watch this as well.
What's the previous film we worked on?
Oh, I can't remember the title of it.
Panos, Panos Cosmatos, ruined spelling probably. Beyond the Black Rainbow.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a good look. I'll have to watch this Mandy trailer and see what all the hubba is about. But that Beyond the Black Rainbow looks really good. Rather spooky.
Then we've got Man V 1238, Amon Saga, from the 11th of June 2001. Set in a barbarous world of magic and mysticism, this action-packed tale of intrigue and adventure follows the exploits of Amon, a young man on a desperate quest to avenge the death of his mother. When his hunt leads him to the castle of Emperor Valhis, Amon must endure the perils of initiation and join the ranks of the Imperial Army in order to gain an opportunity to take his revenge. I know the name.
I know that I didn't have it. Did somebody I know have it?
Is it designed by Yoshitaka Amano?
Yes,
this is a 1986 OVA.
In me head, I think I always thought it wouldn't be for me. I don't know why.
No, I wonder
why. I don't know why.
This has definitely got better ratings than those three films we were looking at earlier. Decent is its highest voting ranking.
Hmm.
Yeah, I wonder whether the character designs transfer very well. 75 minutes this one is.
Okay. I mean, that's something that I would certainly be willing to watch as well, because I like his character designs. I think they're top-notch.
Yes. Yeah. Sky Pilot Entertainment doing the dub again, and our number one record was Angel by Shaggy featuring Ravon.
Isn't that like, you're going to be my angel, my darling angel.
Yes. So Ravon really doing most of the work, and then Shaggy leaping in.
With the odd hoop.
To take the credit.
Or was that, it wasn't me? I think that was it wasn't me.
I think both of them. I think Shaggy's input in both of them is pretty similar, except maybe more morally reprehensible. And it wasn't me. But that has been covered many times in the past decade or so. Pearl Harbor was the number one film. Unsurprisingly, I have not seen Pearl Harbor.
I have seen the opening?
Because it was absolutely trounced in reviews, wasn't it?
Yeah, it got bad. But I think any film that has like a huge budget, and it doesn't help that it may well be shit, but I feel like people are just going to be extra critical. Because it had wasn't it like $80 million budget or something, which at the time was, am I right? I'm going to quickly Google this, because if I'm right on that, I'll be quite impressed.
It is Michael Bay, so I'm sure it's something obscene.
It was like such a large sum for its time. 140 million. That's crazy. Yeah, 183 minutes. It's a long one, isn't it? Very long.
Then, finally, the final VHS release, as far as I'm aware. Man V 1239, Blood the Last Vampire, on the 17th of September 2001. Japan's first fully digitally animated feature film, Blood the Last Vampire, takes place in the fall of 1966. The Vietnam War is underway and the US military machine is being supplied out of Yokota Air Force Base, a plot of US land within Japan. Within the compound, the atmosphere is charged with violent intensity as F-4 combat planes take off hastily one after the next. Meanwhile, a series of suspicious suicides are reported in town. It's vampires. And there's a schoolgirl vampire showing up to kill the vampires.
Yeah, that initial bit of the synopsis, I didn't even realise was part of that. Honestly, I know it's been a long time since I've seen it, but...
Yeah, I think part of the problem is when you first watch it is you're like, is this subtitled or is it dubbed? Is it dubbed or subtitled? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, both. Of course. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so this is one of those situations where there isn't a dub. So the people who speak English speak English, people who speak Japanese speak Japanese. And because it's an original, it's not redubbing existing dialogue, they would have had to have paid the full rates to actors if they were doing it within union scale. And so you've got the one of the most famous voice actors ever, Frank Welker, doing vampire noises on this thing.
Wow.
He's the current voice of... he was the voice of Freddy in Scooby-Doo, and he's the current voice of Scooby-Doo as well at the moment, I do believe.
Nice. I remember liking this.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it when I borrowed somebody's DVD of it. I think the correct way to watch it is borrow somebody else's copy of it, though, because it's a bit slight. I think if you're paying for it, you don't necessarily feel like you get your money's worth.
Yeah, that's how I thoroughly agree with that, because it's probably not worth the full price of a DVD, which a lot of people probably paid, or VHS, whatever it was at the time. Because it's short, but I don't know. I think it's a nice length, because any longer I feel it would outdo its welcome. But for purchasing and value, borrow it.
Yeah, or you can probably find it dirt cheap on eBay at the moment.
Oh, I reckon like 99 pence for this on DVD. I feel like all of my friends own this. Not all of them, but anyone who would be into this kind of thing, they all have this tucked at the end of their collection or the front, whatever.
The number one film was the aforementioned Moulin Rouge.
Good film.
And number one record was Hey Baby by DJ Otzi.
I don't think we've had a song as good as that.
I don't think
on these lists. I mean,
yeah, I don't think there's a song I've heard quite variations of quite so much.
What a track!
Since going to wrestling shows.
Well, they have it on this.
No crowds, because it got turned into a football chant, and a lot of when you go to wrestling shows, the chants of football chants are turned into things. And obviously, recently it showed up at the protests against Trump.
I mean, it's such a great tune. It's can do whatever you like with it.
Yeah, I think it got especially popular in wrestling circles when the guy who's now Apollo Crews in WWE would come over wrestling as Uha Nation. And obviously that his name fits chanting this song at him perfectly.
Oh.
But yeah, I think
it's a good song.
It's a song you could easily adapt into chants.
Yeah. Anything that has that crowd participation where one person does the bit of it and then the rest join in and the back and forth, it's going to do well. It's stuck in my head right now.
I've now got the Trump one stuck back in my head.
How long was this number one for? I've never asked that of any of the other ones that we've mentioned.
It wasn't number one the previous week. I believe the previous week it was Bob the Builder.
Oh.
Then 9/11 happened, and then this went to number one.
Right, I see. I can't seem to find out how long.
The original version was from 1961. The DJ Otzi version... Oh, the place to go is the original... is the UK chart site.
I have heard the original. I think they've played on the radio before. It's good as well.
Where's the search? There we go. I'm looking for artists. DJ Otzi.
Wonder what he's up to now. Had an album out last year.
It was only 1 week at number one. But it was in the charts for 32 weeks. Whew. He followed it up with Doo Wah Diddy.
Oh, yeah.
But then they re-released it because I think Doo Wah Diddy's wasn't being noticed because people were still buying Hey Baby. And then he did a record called Christmas Time. He did Hey Baby Unofficial World Cup Remix in 2002.
Unofficial?
I'm serious to say that the World Cup, FIFA weren't...
They weren't adopting it as... Right.
And then Live Is Life by the Hermes House Band and DJ Otzi in 2002. Since then, he's not featured in the charts. And his album, Never Stop the Alpen Pop, got to 92 in the album charts in the UK.
He looks a bit like that dude, that Guy Fieri guy.
Yes, I know. I looked him up recently and I was of a similar opinion.
It's a sad beard. It's the ice beard. Well, yeah. There you go.
Just remember to stick DJ Otzi in front, otherwise you get a well-preserved natural mummy called Otzi.
Oh. Interesting.
Yes, he's got that, frosted beard.
Which one, the mummy or...?
Both of them. Oh, God, there's a version of it here. DJ Otzi, Hey Baby, from the movie Kangaroo Jack. International Sports Anthem of the Year, as well as also on this written on the cover.
I'd love to shake his hand. Kangaroo Jacks, that is. Well, I'm sure he's a fun guy.
Who knows, one day maybe Kit O'Connor will invite both of them to be guests of honour.
Who, Kangaroo Jack and... Or Guy Fieri and DJ Otzi,
Otzi and the Kangaroo Jack.
To be honest, if there's anybody they're going to... He would do great at a con. I think Hey Baby is... It's an eternal track that everybody at the con would appreciate.
It does feel a bit like... Yeah, he does feel like he's the sort of act who gets invited to do gigs at universities.
Unis and stuff,
About now as well, because you think... People, or maybe a little bit later. Maybe a couple of years ago, we would have been his peak time, but yeah.
Mm. I always remember when I was at uni, I was friendly with the person who organised some of the guests and stuff, and they used to get quite a lot of money for one night. Like a couple of grand.
Oh, yeah, and
it's
sure.
Quite crazy. So I can't remember some of the guests that I had, but they're probably doing all right off of travelling the country. Go into Big Brother, and come out and then go and do like a uni circuit for a year.
I never understood what these people do when it's the big, when you see like a nightclub and they say, oh, we've got this guy from Big Brother. It's like, okay, what? How is that an attraction? What are they supposed to be?
It's literally a normal person, an untalented... They might have a talent, but nobody wants to see the talent. They want to see...
Yeah.
I don't even know.
No, there's a nightclub in Spalding which would have Ricky from EastEnders would be there.
See, I can understand. At least he can probably speak to a crowd and, you know, he's an actor after all, but a few of them, people, I don't know. Also, we did have, is it Face from A-Team?
Yeah.
Dude, we had him in our university. Yeah.
But that seems like too old a reference for you.
Well, it probably was, because I've never really watched the... I know the A-Team, but he was on, and I felt a bit sorry for him, because I felt like he was at the age where he definitely shouldn't be doing this.
Hey, talking to people at the age of where they definitely shouldn't be doing things, do you see that Dave Benson Phillips is doing a wrestling match?
Who against?
The No Fun Police. So if there was a tag team for him to go up against, it would definitely be the No Fun Police. It's in Brighton, so I can't unfortunately get to it.
Oh, God. I wonder, like, has he been training? Or I don't know.
I don't know either. Apparently he did like an angle a few weeks back. But yeah, he's 53, so...
He's too nice of a person. Like, unless this is where I find out where he's got some...
Oh, no, I'm sure he is too nice of a person. But
he is such...
I think it's in the same... That's why it reminded me, because I bet he does those things as well. Of turning up at university.
Oh, absolutely. He could... That's probably his living. He can probably keep that up.
Because I'm pretty sure Timmy Mallett was doing it around the time I was at university.
God. Apparently he's teaming up with Moth Martina?
Yes, I've not seen her in any... matches.
Let's have a... Who is she, though?
I've not seen her. All I know is secondhand references to her from other wrestlers.
Right. Yeah. But she is she's not... I no. thought she was maybe a TV
No, she is a real... Yeah. She is a wrestler. Okay. So I assume she'll be doing most of the working.
Yeah. Wow. Never expected that.
Yeah, I'm looking at, yes, 6 hours. 90s children's TV star to fight pro wrestlers in Brighton.
Poor guy. I know it's not real, sorry, but he's probably still going to get hurt.
I don't. It depends how they do it. I'm sure they'll be fine. I'm sure he'll just tip Gunge on somebody or something.
Oh, God, yeah. The ring's going to be swimming with it. It's going to be great.
I may watch it on their on-demand service, though. Because it is... I have to say, I've not watched any of this Riptide wrestling before, but that was like... Mm. That is kind of making me interested.
Imagine if I started getting loads of children's presenters and stuff. That could be a boom.
Righty-ho, I think that is it for Man v Feud. We're all done and dusted.
Kind of sad.
I know, but...
Is it not like an ADV?
No.
MVM?
I don't think they ever put anything out on VHS. I don't think there's nice handy lists as though I could find for manga. Oh. And also, ADV's like all... It's all importing the American stuff, isn't it? So there's not that good UK connection that you've got of...
Yeah.
Manga's reputation is a reputation which is extraordinarily British, of having people who may actually be Americans not saying dialogue written by British people so they no longer sound like Americans. Massive amount of extra swearing put in, but not as much as you remember. It's just certain ones done by a certain person. And then these, like, and then the period of like, oh, we spent so much money on Ghost in the Shell, we can't afford to put anything else out anymore. So yeah, I don't think you'd have the same with doing, say, Pioneer would be very short. It'd be equally sad once you got to the end, it was got very sparse, but it'd be like a mad burst in the middle of the 90s. So ADV is just stuff coming in from the other side. Kaseki, it's probably... I wouldn't be able to find a list of all the Kaseki stuff, particularly as I've now thrown all my Manga Manias away. And ditto for Western Connection. If we do East to West, I think they only had like 3 releases, so that would be a short one to do.
Not the same, though.
Not the same. So I think of these ones to do, manga is the one to do it. And for the VHS particularly. Because after this point, it's like slim pickings. They put out those shitty DVDs we mentioned before. They only start getting a few good DVDs. Then they start to get mothballed. Then Anchor Bay take over and they kind of come back to life again.
Oh, end of an era.
Well, yep. You find a big list of things which aired on the Sci-Fi Channel or whatever you used to watch anime on satellite, then we can do that, and you can take control of that one.
Oh, God. God. See, that's something that always impresses me, Brian. I don't know where you find stuff.
Well, I can tell you where... Well, a lot of the descriptions and stuff, a lot of them are taken from the old anime site Animation, who basically would copy the press releases and the back...
Yeah.
Copy off it. The dates, some of them from Animagin, some of them were from somewhere else, which I probably don't have bookmarked anymore. So there was somebody who's got a spreadsheet online with like a lot of the things with the dates on.
Yeah.
So that was basically where I found most of the details from. And we got a few things to watch. We got a Halloween sorted, even though I think we'd already got Halloween. But I think these three are a better choice for Halloween.
What was it going to be? Because I can't remember.
Let me see if I've written it in the spreadsheet. Oh, was it Dune Megalopolis? I think it might have been Dune Megalopolis.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's probably longer than watching those three, so... I'm pretty sure it is, because I think they're like I think it's 4 volumes and they're like almost an hour each. So I think we'll do these 3 crappy ones before we do Megalopolis, which is actually
crappy.
Good. Yeah, crappy. We saw those ratings they've got. I know somebody thinks 2 of them are masterpieces. You have to assume it's the same person who's voted them masterpieces.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be.
But yeah, let me green light Psychic Wars, Vampire Wars, and Sword of Truth. Sword for Truth, rather.
I always thought it was Sword of Truth until tonight. And you messed everything up.
Blown your tiny mind.
Excuse me. Yeah.
We've got Shadow Skill on the docket, Detonate Organ, Pat Labor 2 and Pat Labor 1. Wings of Honomies. Oh, no, it was Genocide we were going to do for Halloween.
Was it?
Yeah, Genocide might be a better bet, actually.
Okay.
I'll have to check who did the dub on it. If it was Wolskull, we'll do Genocide. If it wasn't, we'll do... Well, also, I'll check if those 3 are full of swears, because we know there was a few where he did rein himself in and didn't go nuts on the swears. But it feels like those feels like those 3 would be overloaded with swearing. Rugen Zed. We finished off Guyver, so that can no longer doesn't have to be in green anymore.
No.
Winged of Amnesia, Dune Megalopolis, Crying Freeman. We've done Venus Wars.
And did oh we did, yes, yes, yeah.
And Dominion Tank Police.
We've done them. Yeah. Okay.
No,
yes.
I haven't done it, but we know we've got it lined up because John wants to do it.
I thought we did it.
No, we've not done it.
We definitely have.
We have not.
I remember speaking. I know it probably gets brought up anyway.
I'm going to say we talked about it during episode 1 of Mad Beef.
I'm sure. Let me just search Dominion on the webpage. Dominion. Oh, nothing. Oh, no, hold on. Tank Police, you mean?
No, I'm pretty sure we've done
nothing.
Nothing.
Well, the word police, what's that bring back? Not much. Oh, well, well, there we go.
There we go, indeed. Okay, that wraps everything up. We've got an idea of what we get next week. It'll hopefully be the back half of Dirty Pair. failing that, we'll just may record the review of Amicon early.
That sounds good to me.
Rightio, we'll see you then. Goodbye.
See you later. Bye-bye.